Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. We hope you enjoy today's message. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com.
Gee, how do you wrap up 13 years? You know, I want to just kind of lay out what God's been doing. Tell you a bit of my testimony. Tell you a little bit of the story of what got me to where I am today. Share a verse with you, a couple verses that have been so meaningful to me in this process. But as you know, it's been announced, I am, today's kind of my final day. This week I start packing up the office and house, and in the next week or two, moving off to Atlanta, Georgia, where I will be pursuing a full-time career in acting, which is just exciting. And you're like, acting? Why wouldn't you go and just plant a church? Well, my heart's to do church among actors, if that makes sense. My heart, not formally, not as Pastor Dan, but I just want to go love that world. And it's been a long process to get there. Going back, I'd say even to my youth, some of the most impactful things that I experienced was movies. And I always remember thinking, wow, the power of that. One of my favorites early on was the movie Arthur. Anybody remember that one, Dudley Moore? Yeah, it does date us a bit. The message I took away from that was, hey, money's great, but love's more important. And it wasn't a Christian movie, but man, it spoke to my heart. And it made a difference. And then a few years before that, though, that's a positive one. On the negative side, because there's negative things out there, too. I remember my sister, bless her heart, her and her boyfriend took me to see Jaws when I was about 7 years old. I had that memory again this week, realizing I cannot go in the ocean any longer without looking over my back. That's true. I'm serious. I mean, there is always a little hesitation when I walk into an ocean. So my sister, who's probably watching online, I'm no longer going to talk to you. We've had it. I love her, and she's in Florida. And but boy, those memories of the power of media. And I remember being on the college campus, walking to the gym for basketball practice. I was playing for the school in New York. And looking at the theater and thinking, gosh, that would be fun to be in there. Remember when I got to Atlanta, now I was mid-20s and had become a Christian a couple of years earlier, and I got to Atlanta and they had this thing called the Atlanta Passion Play at this church, First Baptist of Atlanta, where Steve and Michelle. Oh, Megan was baby Jesus. Well, I got to be a disciple. It's a very big production. This is no, like, you know, little stagey thing. This is a full-on Atlanta Civic Center production. And so I got to be a disciple of Jesus. And I think I learned more about Jesus playing the role of a disciple. And again, the power of theater. And I just remember walking away with that. And I so loved it. The next year, I was already going into ministry and on staff with Athletes in Action. But I still wanted to be in the Passion Play. I was assigned to Auburn University. War Eagle? Okay, Elaine Henderson, good. I'm in Auburn, and I'm like, man, I'd love to be, well, I wanted to be Jesus. Okay, I wanted to play the role of Jesus. For some of you who know my story, there's more to that. but they wouldn't let me play that role, but they said, hey, we'll give you the role of Moses. And I'm thinking, Moses? Now, where was Moses in the New Testament? And it was a transfiguration. Remember that? When Moses and Elijah flew in. So guess what? They strung me up on wires and flew me across the stage and back again. And Elijah's coming the other direction. And we're crisscrossing. And I hung over this stage and did the lines of Moses at the transfiguration. So really cool stuff. On to Dallas, and was in The Wizard of Oz. Guess who I was? Guess which of the three characters, Dorothy's three friends, I was? Which one? Tin Man. Yes. Of all people to put a 2-foot cap on top of. I mean, I was standing about 9 feet on that stage. head to toe. And then on to Vail and the great show, Annie, Get Your Gun. It was a fun show over there. And then over here, and I met Susan Montell at church. Where are you, Susan? You in here? Right over here. And Susan, who's an actress herself, introduced me to Kent Reed, and Kent has an acting troupe here, and started acting here, and it's been a lot of fun. And all up to this last show I did this summer called The Christians, where if I wasn't leaving Crossroads, I may have got fired for that one. It was an interesting show about a pastor that goes sideways in his theology. So it's been in my blood for a long time, and God's been working. And so leading up to all this, I just realized that about 4 years ago, Lord, what am I supposed to do with it? This is a hobby I enjoy. But is this supposed to be something more to this? And I came across this passage. And I want to bring it up for you. Matthew 25. And the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone, or talents. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Couple things I want to point out from this. Look at that. First of all, it says he gave them, I just want you to highlight just a couple things. This is not the focus of the message, but dividing it into proportion to their abilities. I think one of the biggest things we struggle with today is comparison. He has that, and I've got that, and it can be our money, it can be our talents, it can be our abilities, it can be our looks, it can be the size of the home we have. There's so much comparison in the world today, especially in this town. And I saw that, and I'm like, wow, isn't that so cool? God doesn't ask us to be anything more than what he's created us to be. And can we settle into that? To simply be who God has... Let me just fix this a bit. Hopefully that'll take care of it. God, he's given... And Sarah, you said something like this during... Something you said this morning. The idea of what God gives us and our abilities and all that we have. The question it raises for me as I looked at that was, well, Lord, what are my abilities? Have we really taken time to really evaluate how God has wired us and gifted us? What are the abilities that God has given us? Can you sit and can you say, this is what God has gifted me to do? This is how I'm wired. These are the things that make my soul come alive. Can you, do you have a sense of what God has put you here to do? Because he's given you and me all sorts of abilities. And then it goes on and it basically says for a couple of these characters, they did something with those abilities. But then that last one, what happened? He buried it. And as I read that, is this getting really bad? Okay. So check that out. He gives us all abilities. And then two of them said, well, I'm going to do something with my ability. And then one said, I'm just going to bury it. And if you read the story, if you read the counter story over in Luke 19, you're going to realize there was fear in this person's heart. There was a sense of fear that I don't know what to do. I'm fearful of what's going to happen. Will I lose it? Will I displease the master? In all these things. And so what hit me about 3 or 4 years ago, I'm just going to give you this word, more. God has more. And I really wasn't sure what that was. And I chatted with Steve. We talked about, okay, my role here, what I was doing, and do I got to do more in the community? Do I got to get a move to Snowmass and where I have a 2-bedroom house, a little more room to entertain people? What is it, Lord? What's the more? And for the last few years, it's been this journey of asking the question, what is the more? And as I think about this farewell message, this parting message, if you take anything away from today, I hope you're always asking God, what do you have for me, God? What is the more for me? Because, gang, we never plateau. It's not God's plan that we just, okay, we arrived, we're all good, now we just plateau. There's always more for each of us. And if you take anything away from today, maybe that'll be a first good point. Take away the idea of, what is the more for me? What are you calling me to do, Lord, with where I am in life, my age, my resources, the people I know, the places I've been, where I live, what I do? What is the more for me now? Because it's pretty sad, isn't it? He buried it. And so over the last few years, I want to just show you some things that I've processed that have really helped me come to where I am today. Chris, if you go to that next slide, buddy. Some thoughts on listening to the nudges of God, because I think God's just been nudging me for the last few years. And I've been like, oh gosh, no, I don't want to do that. It's too fearful. I don't want to make a big change because, oh, I love Aspen and all these things. But a few things, the Bible. Man, it was his word, gang. I mean, just reading the various parts of his word, and this is going to be up there for a while, so don't worry about trying to write everything down if you're a writer. But God's word, do we approach it with an attitude to just meditate on it and to let God speak to it? Derek, during those songs, spoke about listening to God. And I think, do we listen or do we read the scriptures with an ear to listen? And it's great to listen to the scriptures, as you know, on audio and all those things are awesome. But taking time to simply read and let God speak through the scriptures. I can't tell you how many times over the last few years, God has just taken me to different verses where he's just saying, Dan, do you see it? Do you see what I'm doing? That Matthew 25 verse. I think about Joshua, I think it's 1:9 that says, meditating on the law of God day and night. Not just reading, but meditating. I think about Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask of the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. So gang, I just want to say, as we consider, if there's something going on in your soul, you're wondering, Lord, what do you have next for me? Is there a more, Lord? I just want to encourage you, spend time in the scriptures and let them speak to you. Just let the scriptures speak to your heart. Read them over, but take your time through them. Don't rush through them. Just take your time. Don't try to get through a whole bunch. Just try to get on a few things and let God speak. The second thing was books. About 3 years ago, I read a book called Dangerous Calling by this guy, Paul David Tripp. It's a book from pastors to pastors, and he's telling his story of how he ended up in a very tough place. And he made the statement, my faith has become my profession. And he was essentially saying was, I've become a professional Christian as a pastor. I've got this place where I do all this faith stuff because, well, I'm a professional. I get paid. This is what I do. And, you know, it's one of those times it just rang right to the depths of my heart. And I said, I think that's me. I think that's me. This man's story that he put in his book, as I read through it, it just jumped off the pages, and God used it to speak to me to say, wow, Dan, are you just a professional Christian? Where's your heart? And I begin to realize that, yeah, I had kind of lost that sense of that division between, okay, I'm a child of God, as we sang earlier this morning, but this is what I do as a profession. I'm a pastor. And those got so blended that it threw me off. And I encourage you, though, but are you reading other stories, other people's stories and experiences? One of the greatest things, there's so many great books out there telling the stories of people who have walked with God, their journey with God, what they've been through. And it's, you know, obviously the Bible has so many of those, But then we have people today, our contemporaries, that have walked through different things. And wow, the power of story. Another reason why I love media and the power of media, and I want to be involved in it. Third thing was energy. I begin to realize the last few years, my energy was just starting to drain. My passion, my zeal, and everything. And I'm like, what is going on? And certainly went to the doctors and made sure there was nothing, no illness issues, no problems inside, and all that cleared fine. It's like, what in the world is going on? And begin to realize I was just starting to slowly burn out to the point, as most of you know, I took a sabbatical last November just because of feeling I'm just exhausted. And then this guy, Michael Miller, who you guys might remember, he's been a part of our church here at times. He said to me over the last G3, I just don't think burnout so much about working too hard. I think it's about working at the wrong job. Wow. I hadn't thought about it that way. And I begin to really examine my life and speaking with a pastoral counselor and talking with him about some of the stuff going on in my soul and my thinking and the acting and all that kind of stuff. And he asked this question. He said, is what you're doing life-giving or life-taking? Really speaking to the totality of my life. Where you live, what you do, who you know, where you hang out, what you do. Is it life-giving or life-taking? And I had to come to an honest assessment and say, Lord, I'm not feeling the life the way I used to feel the life. What is this about? And again, I think these are some of the ways that God nudges us. He uses our situation and where we've been and says, hey, I got something more for you. Another thing was songs. A couple years ago at Inspire Song, Bernie Cowart was here and he sang his song Redeemed. And wow, it just rang true to my heart. And he sang about this, I got the line here. All my life I've been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. And I heard that line and I just started weeping. And I began to realize God was speaking to me through this song. And that there was something. And so I had to really just dig up a few things and process some things about shame and that we all can deal with because we're such a comparison society. We're always comparing ourselves to one another, as I said earlier. And boy, God just dug deep. And I started to just pursue that and say, Lord, what do we have to uproot here? Then there was a song by Danny Gokey, Let Your Heart Beat Again. And I heard that song. And I'm like, that's what I want. I want my heart to beat again. And so this whole process, like I say, that this nudging of God, sometimes it's just like you're doing this and then he says, boom, you're way over here. But sometimes it's just this process where he starts turning the ship. And part of that process is realizing that what I'm doing is getting, it's just not working any longer. And so I encourage you, do you expect and experience God's power, God's presence through songs, through the power of worship? I mean, when we sing these songs on Sunday morning, are we just mouthing words? Or is our heart connecting? Are we even expecting God to speak through that worship song? That God can speak right through a song. And what a great reason to come with a heart. What a great reason to come on time, right? Not that any of us here struggle with that. But what a great reason to come on time. And what a great reason to come with a heart that's prepared to see what God wants to say to us through the worship songs that he's led our worship pastor to prepare for that week. Do we believe God's big enough to actually do that? That he may just orchestrate certain songs and your place in life and where you are and where I am to simply speak to us through songs. And so I encourage you to come with expectation and expect to experience the power of worship on Sunday mornings. The second last thing is signs. How I've seen God just use various signs. So part of this whole process over the last few years And so that's some of the tougher stuff, right, gang? That's just some of the internal stuff I was wrestling with. But here's the other, this is the flip side of that. A guy comes to town from LA, Christian brother, loves the Lord, and he directs me in a show I did a few years ago. And he says, you know, I've been doing TV and film in Hollywood for 30 years. And if you're ever interested, I think you would do great with TV and film. He said, actually, you're an okay theater actor, but TV and film, I really think, and he gave me a bunch of reasons why I think you could really excel at this. And he said, why don't you come out to LA and we'll just talk and we'll introduce you to some people. So I did that. And Steve graciously, we chatted about that. And Steve said, yeah, man, go explore that. See what God's doing. Which, bro, thank you. Thank you for giving me the freedom to just say, okay, Lord, what are you doing? What am I exploring? And I went out and explored that. And that sometimes, yeah, this is really good. But I realized that if acting was ever going to be in my future, I needed to be on the ground full time. It wasn't going to happen just trying to throw some things at it from Aspen. I really needed to be there on the ground, explore it, be available for auditions and all that kind of stuff. And so that was just kind of there. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm just not super crazy about LA. It's just insane out there. I mean, there's parts of it I love, but it's just crazy, crazy, crazy. And so that was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And then 2 years ago or a year ago, I don't know what it was, but Don came back and we're sitting having breakfast over at the Meadows, one of my favorite places. And he's like, you know, have you had any more thoughts about just, you know, full-time acting and, you know, where you at with all that? And I said, well, you know, I'm pretty dialed into the church. And he goes, well, with him not knowing any of my background, he said, well, you know, there's some really cool stuff happening in Atlanta, Georgia these days. TV and film is just taking off. He goes, have you know anything about Atlanta? And my history has been, you know, again, that I lived there, had some great experiences. My first real acting experiences were there, and I have a great community of people there. I said, really? Well, that's interesting. And so through the whole process of the last couple of years, this past April, is when I made a trip there and got on the ground and began to see what God was doing. But the signs that God puts in, I cannot even begin to describe how many folks I've been connected to and linked to over the last few months, that are somehow networked to the acting community in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's just the signs of God, where God just keeps putting these things in front of you, these opportunities. He opens doors and it's like, okay, will I step into it? Because that's the scary part. And I honestly came back and I'll talk about community in a second, but are we watching and processing the signs in our life? Are we taking time to say, Lord, what was that? You know, those things that just kind of go by our radar screen, we're like, what was that about? And often we just let it go. And my encouragement is simply process the sign. Get with someone spiritual that can really speak into that with you and process the signs that God may be putting before you. And the last thing is community. One of the things I remember, sitting and, in an elder meeting and good old Mike Taylor right over here says, man, I just feel like you're the older brother in the prodigal son story, which is the brother that just strived and strived and strived. And boy, he said that. And man, it's just, thank you, Mike. It hit home. How God used the brother, how he used community to just go kaboom. Yeah, buddy, that's what you're doing, Dan. You're into this mode now where you're striving and striving and striving. And I've got something more for you. Are you ready to walk into it? And then my brothers like Bryant Reagan and Steve and others just like, yeah, God is working. What's going on? So I made that trip to Atlanta and came back and I'm like, well, guys, you know, it was a good trip and it was interesting, you know, some met some cool people and could be some cool opportunities there. And they're like, yep, you need to go. And I'm like, well, wait a minute now. Let's talk about this for a while. Right. But it was like unanimous in the meeting. Yeah, you need to go. And I'm like, well, let's just take the month and pray. Let's just take a month and pray about this, which we did. And, you know, obviously all that's been unfolding since. But, you know, community, gang, who in our lives can confirm the nudge? who is in our life that can confirm the nudge of God in our lives? We'd be sitting here today. I don't know where you're at, what's happening, but perhaps God's nudging you. Maybe it's not a career change to Atlanta, Georgia, but maybe it's a job situation, a job you're in, or a job you need to get out of, or a job you get into or get out of. Maybe it's a relationship you're in or you need to get out of. Maybe it's even your involvement with the church. God's nudging you today. We're going to be talking about community this whole fall. It's going to be the heartbeat of Steve's series this fall. Better Together, I think it is, right, bro? And maybe God is just at a point where you've kind of been on the fringe and God's saying it's time to take that next step. He's giving you that nudge to just get involved in community. Because, gang, without community, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Honestly, it just wouldn't be happening. Without the community of people that have been around me, that have spoken into my life, encouraged me along the way, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So I just ask the question about community and say, you know, who is in your lives that in your life that is giving you that encouragement? And I want to say this too, because I've been thinking about this for a while. One of the challenges of this decision for me was Aspen is so cool. This place is so much fun in so many ways. I mean, it is just a classic place. One of the places that people want to come to from around the world to visit. And how often do we hear, and Steve mentioned this last week, living a dream. I'm just living a dream. Question is, whose dream is it? It's a good question. But also, man, people say how often, and you've been here, if you live here, man, you're so lucky to live there. And, you know, there are so many amazing things about this town, but I want to say, I felt like something the Lord put on my heart about this town is that it can be a spider web. That you can fly into and get stuck. And that there is a spider just sitting on the outskirts, waiting for you to get stuck enough so he can come and zap the life out of you. And it's a beautiful town. And there's amazing things about it. But watch out for getting stuck. Because it can take your life. It's not surprising to me, the more I've been through all this stuff, that we have one of the highest suicide rates in the country here. Because I think people come and they get stuck and they get zapped by that spider. Because in reality, what happens is you come and you're like, this place is amazing. And you're living the dream. And again, it is an amazing place. I love it. But if it's not for you, if it's not for me, we're just setting ourselves up for that spider to come along, stick its little thing into us and zap the life out of us. So watch out. Just watch out for the dynamics here. I think these six things, you could probably put 20 things up there. But there's some good questions to ask about where we are in the journey and how we're doing with these things and how we're doing with the Lord and all that. Because my desire for you is that your desire to be here in Aspen, we need people here. We need people to be here and to be light. Be about a calling, not about comfort. That makes sense? Let it be about a passionate calling rather than a desire for comfort. And some of you, maybe even as I say that, may be there and say, I may be in this for the comfort more than the calling. And my encouragement is get connected to a community that can help you unearth that calling. Because again, as I said, we need people here. I'm not trying to tell everybody to leave. Probably get in trouble for that. But you need to know why you're here. If you're just here because, oh man, I just love this place. I'm just living the dream. Make sure it's God's dream, not just your dream.
because there's a cost to this, gang, if we miss this. Let me wrap up with this. Chris, if you go to that next slide, buddy. As the story goes on, then the servant with the bag of silver came and said to the master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid. This is the guy that buried the talent. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, Lord, here's your money back. And what does God say? You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank at least? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. He goes on and it says, go ahead, buddy. Thank you. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant out into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ooh. Well, that's a strong finish. Not exactly the note you want to finish on, but those are Jesus' words, not mine. So let me just be clear about that. I just want you to realize the cost of burying our talent. And I don't know what yours is. I'm not here to judge that or anything. I'm not here to say stay or go or change jobs or change relationships. I'm simply saying talk to the Lord about it. Listen to God's nudges. Because what we see here, and just to clarify, what happens is this idea of being thrown out into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, there's different scholars or different places on this, but probably the idea that doesn't mean this guy lost his salvation, but that there was great sorrow. Great sorrow when he came before God and God said, oh, let's talk about your life. Because he realizes as he sat before God, wow, Lord, I had so many opportunities and I didn't do anything with it. I buried it. So that's the cost. And that's my question to you today, because I don't want to see you bury it. That's why I'm making the changes. I mean, okay, let's be honest, 56 years old. You live in Aspen, Colorado, for starters. You got a comfortable job and a great church, great people. And at 56, you're going to change your location, vocation, and everything. And, I'd be lying if I didn't say there's an element in me at times that says, are you crazy? But man, you come back to the Word of God. You come back to the affirmation of your friends. You come back to the songs, and the various things in our life. And you say, yeah, God, I trust you. That song we sang, and I know Derek sang it for a reason. That song about trusting in the Lord. Thanks for that, bro. That was meaningful this morning as you sang it. I know we got another great one coming up. But wow, the power of all of that, gang. I just want to see you go for everything God has for you. And that's what I'm doing. So you can pray for me. Pray for simple things just favor. Simple things, renting my place in Snowmass, which I'm going to rent it for now. And simple things like getting moved, getting wrapped up, little things. Getting there, I got a place in Atlanta I'm excited to live in. A little one-bedroom apartment in a place called Inman Park, which is a really fun area of town. Just pray for favor in the acting world. And, this is where I rest, even though it's a huge risk, it's a huge step. You know what? God's got it covered. And if he's in that deal, good night. Who knows what'll happen? And if he's not, he'll show me something different. But I think that's maybe the closing thought I want to give you. What could God do with your life? Do we have the expectation that God wants to do something huge? I am convinced, gang, it'll look different for every one of us. Don't compare. But God has huge things for each of us. Huge opportunities to encourage and influence and to change this world. That is the expectation we should come to God with. And so I just throw it out to you. How's that look in your life? What does he want to do? And if he's showing you something, if he's nudging you, don't sit on that nudge. Amen? Amen. Well, let me pray. We're going to take communion. Derek, come on up, bub. And I'll pray for communion, and we'll go from there. Lord, thank you so much for your word that has spoken to me over these years. Thank you for what you have shown me, what you have just poured out through other people, through your word, through everything. And I'm just so grateful for a community that has just so loved me. I'm so grateful for Steve and Michelle. Wow, Lord, thank you for their love for me. Thank you for the leadership here, the friendships. What a blessing. I look forward to coming back and visiting. But Lord, I look forward even more to what you have in store. Because Lord, you don't want us to sit on these talents you've given us. And Lord, I don't know if it's going to be acting or a church plant somewhere else someday. Who knows? But the joy is we don't need to know. Our job is to just listen to you today and follow you in what you have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that's so rich. Thank you that it's alive and well, that it speaks to us thousands of years after it was written, that it's inspired, that your words jump off the page and speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.